from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the Jaguars Radio Network studios. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier on Jaguars.com Live. Good to be back with you. It's been a little bit of a hiatus.
It feels like a long hiatus. I mean, but things are ready to go. I mean, it's training camps 2 days away, and it may not have been a long enough offseason, but it's here and we're ready.
Jam-packed show. Here's how you can get in: at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice as well. Big topics this week. Of course, last night, Ace Sanders held his conference call announcing that he is facing a four-game suspension. We'll break down Ace's comments coming up. Gus Bradley scheduled to join us at 12:45. Jaguars head coach will have a reaction to that and more. And, of course, veterans report for camp Thursday. Everybody on the field Friday. And we welcome in our senior correspondent on Jaguars.com, Brian Sexton.
You just call me Brian.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Good.
And the whole gang is here. What about that? The whole gang.
I feel like we share an office together, Brian. You're nearby, John. But we're next door now on Jaguars.com Live for the first time in the same room together. You've always been a correspondent for us out in the field.
And I think after sitting next to you guys, I belong out in the field.
Wow.
All right. Well,
no, I'm kidding.
You go ahead and move out of the shot.
I'm kidding.
We'll take care of this.
Biggest news, of course, the last few days was last night when Ace Sanders held his conference call with the media. It started with this comment from Ace Sanders announcing why he was making the conference call.
Well, I will not be doing the first part of training camp, or at least maybe a majority of the training camp. I have some personal issues that I am dealing with. Trying to get everything straightened out. It's been really tough. It's been a really, really tough road for me these past couple months, and I've just been dealing with a lot of stuff. Shoot, just with life and with family and with a lot of issues going on. So I will probably be facing a four-game suspension as well. So I just really would rather everybody hear that from me first before hearing it from anybody else.
And about an hour before those comments, he was placed on the non-football injury illness list. John, how much of a blow is this to the receivers corps?
Well, it's a blow, and I think what it does more than anything is it sort of reduces the margin for error. I think if Cecil Shorts and Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee and maybe Mike Brown steps up or somebody else steps up, then I don't know that you miss Ace that much. But you're also talking about two rookie receivers that you don't know what you're going to get early in the season. So you now need all four of those guys to be productive. And if that doesn't happen, then who do you sort of put in there to make up for it?
Well, and, you know, Ryan O'Halloran started a bit of a kerfuffle back in June when he tweeted that he thought that A. Sanders was on the bubble. And, you know, Sanders created a role for himself last year, there's no doubt. You know, my first thought in this is, all right, well, what does that mean for special teams? Mm-hmm. Because I saw his role as diminishing, as I think a lot of people did. You know, if Ace Sanders was going to catch 52 passes for you this year, that means you did something wrong in the draft. It means that Lee and Robinson haven't grown into those guys that you expected him to be, haven't been healthy all season long. So my first concern for the Jaguars from a football perspective is, what does it mean on special teams? Because let's be honest, that's what they drafted him for. Well, he grew into that role last year because they needed him desperately to fill some sort of explosive role. You guys remember Gus Bradley said at a news conference that he challenged Jed Fish and the offensive staff to find a way to make a Sanders their version of Darren Sproles, who was the, you know, jack of all trades in New Orleans. And I don't think, at least I didn't see him being in that role this year.
No, not this year. And I think they covered themselves a little bit for not knowing Ace's role, what it was going to be this year, by signing Tandon Doss.
Sure.
And if Tandon Doss can develop, then I think you have a situation where you don't miss Ace that much early. I still think Ace has a role later in the season. I think he has a chance to contribute here. But they have insurance in case that doesn't happen.
He's the kind of guy that if he is a guy that you use situationally, I mean, he can be devastating.
Sure.
But until you've got this offense up and running, if you're requiring him to be a key part of it, I don't think that's what he's cut out for, and I don't think that's what these guys want. I got to say this, too, and you guys have had this conversation, and a lot of the tweets that I read from Jacksonville media members who know Ace, who interact with Ace on a daily basis, you know, first of all, you know, kudos to him for stepping up and handling this like a man. How many athletes do we know that avoid any contact with the media, you know, slink out the back door, aren't there in the locker room to be able to stand there, look you eye to eye, and say it? And even though he did it on a conference call, it's eye to eye as far as I'm concerned. he's the kind of guy I always go to. I sat with him in June and had a great half hour with him talking about football. Loves the game, loves what it can do for him and his family. And, you know, I wish him the best. I hope for the best for a guy like Sanders. No matter what his role would be here on the field, he certainly has created a role for himself in the organization, in the locker room.
Jaguars.com live, and J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton, Gus Bradley coming up in about 10 minutes from right now. And unfortunately, around this organization, there are other instances like this, and we have some things to compare this type of situation to. And compared to some other ones in the past, Ace handled it pretty well, right?
Well, and I think it shouldn't be overlooked what Brian mentioned and what we saw on Twitter some last night. You know, I've been around the league 20 years. Unfortunately, that makes me old. But I've never really seen a guy get suspended and then talk about it on a conference call immediately. That's unusual.
Usually, at his own behest.
Well, and he hasn't been suspended yet. But to have this news come out, it's usually a case where you sort of see the guy disappear for a while. He goes and does what he's going to do off the field. And then when you come back, there's a mob in the locker room. He's had sort of time to figure out what he's going to say. What I heard from Ace last night was a kid who is clearly dealing with what's going on, trying to figure it out, maybe a little shocked by it that he's in this situation, but wants to go and get it fixed and start moving forward. And I thought it did take guts to address it yesterday.
Well, and that's a break from the past. I mean, you go back to R.J. Soward, who had his issues, and Matt Jones and Reggie Williams and obviously Justin Blackman.
Justin, sure.
To my knowledge, and I've been around here since day one, I've never heard any of those other guys ever address their situation, ever. I mean, Matt Jones may have touched on it when he came back. So for Ace to step up and do it breaks that trend. And,
right.
And, you know, I know a lot of people make comparisons to the issues the Jaguars have had, trying to replace Jimmy and Keenan, trying to find receivers who are good players and decent human beings you can count on. I think, judging, you know, the little interaction I've had, that they've done that. Cecil is obviously a guy that you can count on, and now Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee appear to be those guys. But Sanders has done it differently than the other receivers around here have.
Yep.
And, I mean, I hate the fact that he's having to deal with this. Because my conversation with him in June was so terrific, I thought, this is a guy who gets it. Well, clearly he has something that he has to get beyond this.
Well, you never know, guys. But, again, I just got a vibe from listening to the conference call that here was a guy who is sincere about trying to figure it out, is sincere about trying to be a part of this. You never know the future. We'll see what happens. But good luck to him.
Jaguars.com live. Get your group together for the best game day experience in the NFL at Everbank Field. All-inclusive VIP access to the new North End Zone platform that includes spa cabanas, special group ticket pricing, corporate hospitality, and customized experiences for groups. Reserve your group experience today, jaguars.com/groups. And, of course, the new North End Zone platform will be unveiled for the first time, part of that big extravaganza on Saturday night.
Isn't there something right about hearing J.P. Stratter talk about spa cabanas, Ryan? Doesn't that just kind of fit? I want to hear more of that.
I can read it again if you want.
This is the part where I need to be out in the field.
let's move on to camp now, guys, and get off of Ace Sanders a bit here. Speaking of some of these camp battles coming up, you know, the first one that Gus addressed when he was asked about it at the end of the offseason program was on offensive line at right guard, the Linder versus McClendon matchup. Is that the first one you look to in your mind still, guys, or is that was the one he mentioned first? It has been a while now. What's the most pressing battle in camp?
Well, I don't know that it's the most high profile. I think the most high profile competition is a wide receiver and sort of trying to figure out how all that shakes out. I don't know if you have a one-on-one battle there, but there's certainly competition and trying to figure out roles. I mean, the reason people talk about the right guard is it's so clearly the most obvious one-on-one, where I would expect that Linder starts before the end of the training camp. This looks like one where you don't want to bring him in immediately and put him right in the starting lineup on the get-go of OTAs. You want to make him earn it. But they drafted him. They released Will Racky right after. They moved up because they thought he was capable of doing it. It would be a surprise to me if Linder's not starting.
Yeah, I would expect that he would be the guy also. Here's why I think what JP said is correct. It is one of those marquee battles, is because the Jaguars went out and spent a ton of money on Zane Beatles and Toby Gearhart in an effort to rebuild the running game. And Linder's going to be a key part of that, especially working next to Mike Brewster, who is making his first start at center since he was at Ohio State. You know what Jokel's capable of. Beatles is obviously a known quantity. They like what they've got from Pazdur. You know, Dave Caldwell told me on the practice field during OTAs, because I expressed some concern about Mike Brewster's ability to be able to, in a 3-4 division where the other three teams play a very strong 3-4 front, you know, be that guy. He's not the strongest guy. And Dave quickly dissipated that argument and said, look, his athleticism, his ability to get out and move and reach guys is more important to the way that we run this game. All right. Well, so center and
now
right.
Now we have to see it.
No, got to see
You're
it. Right,
sure.
But that brings it back to that right guard, because you've got to have a guy who can hold up at right guard if Mike is going to be moving. And so the way I look at it, you know, Linder's a guy that they drafted. Third-round pick. That's a high pick. Mm-hmm. Guy that obviously Fish knows from his days at Miami. Fits what they want to do. McClendon's a guy. Indy, Atlanta, bounced around a little bit. I would expect Linder to be the guy on opening day.
Well, they moved up to get him. And I forget who said it, but after the draft, this was a topic of conversation. They moved up to get him because they felt like the guards with ability to start were running out.
Yeah.
So unless something happens unusual, you would think he's the starter before opening day.
You would think so. At guard, you can put him in and plug him in, and he plays well enough right. in space and in a confined area when he has to that he should be your long-term starter. Why wait? Jokel starts at left tackle as a rookie. A right guard should be able to start as a rookie.
And interesting, I was doing something this week on the offensive line and sort of where that was. Zane Beatles has more starts than anybody else on this line put together,
wow.
which just shows you why he's so important in the experience. There's talent here. Luke Jokel's talented. Austin Pastor seems to be a guy they like. But you're talking about, just like wide receiver, an incredibly young group. If you're talking about a guy who started four seasons, having more starts than anybody else put together on the offensive line.
Well, and Jokel told me when I sat with him that they were going to spend a lot of time this offseason, you know, the time that they got out and away from here together.
Mm-hmm.
They understood just what you said,
right.
that they don't have a lot of starts. So the only way they can get that sort of cohesiveness, because you only get a limited amount of it on the practice field, is to do those sorts of things off the field together. They got to know one another. That's
right.
the position.
And I think it's why I keep saying, JP, we've talked about it. There's going to be an adjustment period for this line.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all five of these guys are eventual Pro Bowlers, which obviously that's unlikely, but as good as these guys are going to be, on the offensive line, continuity early, I would expect we're going to have some games where we're like, that's not what we're looking for, but what you're looking to see is the second half of the season these guys get better, because continuity is a huge issue on the front.
Jaguars.com Live, Gus Bradley coming up in just a couple of moments. You can get in on the show, too, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jags Voice. Gus Bradley probably in a couple of minutes from right now. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball, guys. Of course, the defensive line seems to be shored up, at least more depth. They attacked that in free agency. There are questions, of course, now on the linebacker core, with Watson probably not ready for camp with what he's gone through. How do you see the linebackers kind of shaking out? That seems to kind of popped up all of a sudden.
Well, there's a couple of things at play. Leroy Reynolds all of a sudden has an opportunity to be a much bigger factor than maybe you thought he was when Dakota Watson got signed. Also, the question becomes on the other side, does Geno Hayes – can he turn in an entire season playing at the level that he played at times last year? He was very good, I think better than people expected, for a run when he was healthy last year. But now he's got to come back, and he had trouble getting the whole season and didn't with the knee. Can he do it for an entire season at a level where they need him to be what he was last season when he was good the whole season this year?
You know, the bummer of this whole thing is Dakota Watson is a guy they were really excited about. And a lot of people, you know, outside of Florida State fans or
right.
Buccaneers fans really didn't know who he was. I didn't. And yet, sitting with Jeff Loggeman and watching a bit of the tape in the offseason and talking and figuring out what he's good at and how he fits in, I mean, he's a guy with big-time potential in the right scheme. And this is the right scheme. They tailored it for him, and now we're not likely to see him until probably late in August, if not into September at some point. Reynolds is a guy, he runs, he hits. When you watch the guy on special teams, you see obvious athleticism. It's amazing to me that he wasn't even worth a seventh-round pick
mm-hmm.
last year. Of course, he played Mike at Virginia,
right?
And middle linebackers have to be special if you're going to draft him in the way that defenses are set up these days. So Reynolds can get over there. You know, let's look forward. Let's see Watson coming back healthy at some point in the season. Now you've got Geno Hayes and you've got Reynolds that can really play any of the three linebacker mm-hmm. spots. You've got Telvin Smith, who's a guy they're excited about. It's a situational player at 218 pounds. You've got some pieces.
Right.
You can do some things. But we're going to talk about what's possible instead of what's probable until we see Watson back on the field and healthy.
And I think, you know, you kind of skimmed over the defensive line. A lot of questions on the defensive line in terms of, yes, I think everybody accepts and knows and believes they're going to be better than they were last year. But how much better. Chris Clemens is an 11-year guy who had 4.5 sacks last year, coming off of an ACL. They signed him assuming that he's going to be able to get back to that double-digit level. If he doesn't, then all of a sudden you're looking for a big sack guy. I think you know that the line's going to be better at what they were good at last year. And what I mean when I say that is you've got they played well for 5 or 6 games coming out of the bye last year because they were effort, they were stopping the run, they were everybody was playing well. I mean, now they've got more guys who can do that, but where are you going to find who is going to be that guy who scares other offenses in passing situations? They want it to be Clemens, and it's going to be interesting to see if he can be that guy.
Now, let me work from the inside out. Here, you know, this was a defense that was 31st in the league at stopping the run last year. 8 times last year, their opponents ran for 150 more or more yards per game, which means you can't control the tempo. You've got really no say in how this thing is going. And in many of those games, they were behind, and you know it was hopeless at that point because you couldn't get them off the field. So you go bring in Red Bryant, which allows you to rotate Tyson Alualu, and that end spot is not that pass-rushing end. It's that stop-the-run guy. And you bring in Ziggy Hood, who is a guy that I'm really intrigued by. I mean, his shoulders are broader than this table, you know, and he's a guy who can play either that sturdy zero technique, right, which is what Roy Miller plays, or he can go and play that quick up-tempo three technique guy because he's got that kind of quickness to get it done. So if you build that inside, well, then outside, I think Andre Branch is a guy that a lot of people are excited about. If you talk to him, if you sense his commitment level and the way that he's approaching things, he looks like everything you'd want a defensive end to look like. I'm excited to see what he brings.
Brian, well does. Great to have you. Thanks for coming on today.
Talking's never the problem. Stopping generally is.
Brian Sexton, senior correspondent, Jaguars.com, joining us. Jaguars single game tickets on sale now. Visit Jaguars.com for 3D seat views and more. Also available through Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Jags ticket office, 633-2000. What a great home schedule. Pittsburgh, the Giants, the Dolphins, the Browns are all here. All the divisional games are here. That Dallas game, though, is at Wembley Stadium in London. Get those tickets now, and you'll get to see this man in action. Head coach Gus Bradley is with us live in studio on Jaguars.com Live. Thanks for coming on, Coach. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's great. You know, whenever we do this, we know we're getting closer. And, you know, tomorrow's a big day. We've already had 3 really good days with some of our guys in. Now, it just will feel even better when everybody's here.
Let's get to camp in a moment. Let's start off with last night. Ace Sanders had his conference call with the media last night. Really jumped out ahead of this thing a little bit. What are your thoughts about the whole situation with Ace?
Well, I mean, there's, I guess, a lot of things go through your head. It is, you know, first of all, I guess, it is unfortunate. You know, you hate to lose a player for a period of time of Ace's caliber. And, you know, he's a great teammate, and the players really respect him, and he's very talented. But with that being said, a lot of good has come about through this, and we're not going to, you know, miss that opportunity as well. You know, Ace, for him to, you know, one of the things we talk about with our program, our organization, is communication and trust. And I think Ace really showed that by the way he handled this whole situation. Came in, communicated with us, communicated with Dave and myself, you know, really felt like there is a need to explain everything, and then to come up with the conclusion of how we should attack this and how he should attack it. And then, you know, to have the call last night, I think, says a lot about Ace.
And you feel like this is a guy who has a role for you long term.
Oh, yeah.
That you like and trust.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, we talked to Ace and we said, hey, when you come back from all this, you know, we're going to welcome you with open arms and let's get back to work. But, you know, we've talked to our guys on the team about, you know what, you got to get the man right or get your world right, and then the man becomes right. And that's what he's doing now. He's getting himself right.
Gus Bradley is with us, Jaguars head coach on Jaguars.com Live. We'll get to some social questions coming up. Now, to camp. Rookies have been in, quarterbacks have been in, first-year players are in, and on the field. Anything new pop up this week?
Yeah, you know what? No, it's been good. We're healthy. How about that?
Hey,
we're
I like coming that. Out. That's new.
No, it's good. You know, we just had a chance to, you know, for meetings and then for them to go out there and, you know, have a little physical activity and, you know, really slow down the teaching and really get specific on what we're teaching, especially these guys that are young and the quarterbacks. You know, obviously Chad has some experience, but the other guys and then, you know, the rookies, they can take all that, we can take all the time we need to really slow things down and really make it exact for them.
Everybody wants to know about all the rookies, of course. We won't go over the entire lineup, but Marquise Lee and Robinson didn't get a chance to do enough or as much as you wanted in the off season. Where do they stand, and what will their training camp be like in terms of getting, if caught up's the right word, but getting ready?
Well, I think, you know, it's twofold. We'd all like to see them, you know, if there's 10 reps in every period, get all 10 reps. But, you know, we have a process how we're going to do this. I think you'll see a lot of guys getting reps early, and that's twofold. We need to take a look at everybody. And then also, I think, just to help us as a team for our health, it's good to start out that way. So, you know, they'll get their necessary reps, and with the idea that we can be sustained, we can be healthy throughout training camp, and really take a good look at all those guys. But obviously, we drafted them pretty high. You know, we like their physical traits. Now it's a matter of them doing it on the field.
Let's go to social media. A question off Twitter, Coach, from @Duval904. The question is, can you be my life coach, Gus? Do you offer that service to anybody?
You know what? I think Ryan Robinson, I mean, that's who I talk to a lot. I think he might be a guy that, no, you know what? It's great. I think I feed off our city and our fans, and, you know, that's the best life coach there is.
I've known Ryan about a decade and a half. I'm going to pass on that one. How about that? Mind if I do
he
that?
He told me to give him a plug, so I've got that out of the way.
Defensively, we were talking about it earlier before you came in here, Coach. How big of a what do you expect from linebackers now? Watson might be down a lot of this camp, it sounds like. But a big opportunity for a guy like Reynolds, right?
Yeah, you know what? He really did a nice job. We had a position change to our auto spot for him. And he's big. He's physical. Obviously, we all want to be faster or as fast as possible, especially on the defensive side. And he brings that. He's got really good speed, really an aggressive player. I sense even more maturity now this year compared to last year, whether he knows what to expect now. You know, the role is really defined for him. So all those things are giving him an opportunity to play fast. We're really intrigued by him.
How important – you're a secondary guy coming from Seattle – a lot of the defense was based around how good the secondary was. And not to compare the secondary to that, but how important is it for that group to make the growth that you want from it this year?
Well, I think that first and foremost, you're right, every unit is important, but it really starts up front. Okay. When you have a really, really good rush, your secondary plays better. You know, it's really that simple. So I think we start off up front and making sure that we add the pieces we need to get a good rush. And with Brancher, the way he's come along, Chris Clemens, you know, Sendarek, some of our inside rushers, some of the guys in the outside that we're intrigued by, I think that's where you start. And, you know, if that rush is there, I think you'll see the level of our secondary performance level increase or get better. So it starts there, but we are pleased with the development of our secondary.
Last couple of minutes with head coach Gus Bradley on Jaguars.com Live. A lot going on off of the practice field this week, too, with the new scoreboards being unveiled Saturday, the Fulham-DC United game as well, and then the practice moves Monday night down to Bartram Trail High School. A lot of stuff going on around. Is it challenging to remain focused on football?
No, I think it's great. I think it's really good for our players. It's just like music out on the field. You know, there's a lot of stimulus that's going on, and you got to be able to really knock that stimulus out and perform at a high level. So all these things that are coming our way, it's good stimulus. It really trains our younger guys, and, you know, to know that wherever we're at, we'll go anywhere to compete, and we're going to have that opportunity.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention quarterback. You got to talk quarterback in the NFL, right?
Right.
So,
right.
Chad Henne, going in, he's been a huge offseason storyline because he's going in as a starter. But you're looking at this like he's the guy for the season unless something happens. You want him to be your guy.
Well, ideally as a team, what we'd like to get is to have a really fast team and a really experienced team. That's what we're looking for at all positions. And I think that you'll see some of our positions, we have fast guys, mm-hmm. but inexperienced. And that's that race to maturity that we're talking about to get them to play as an experienced group. With Chad, a year under our system, a year in our culture, we think that he's getting closer to playing fast. Mm-hmm. And we think that that's what we're intrigued by him. He already has the experience, and that's what I think we're so excited about. We have a quarterback that has an opportunity to play fast and his experience, and that's what we're shooting for.
He's a different guy than he was this time last year.
He really is. I think it's more clear, you know, his role and what we expect out of him. He has a comfort level in knowing of that. And, you know, the expectation is for him to continue to improve and to get better and be his best. And I think that's what he's going after as well.
Final question for Coach Bradley. You know, Veterans Report tomorrow. This is, what do you expect tomorrow? What's your first address to the full team going to be? And this is almost like Christmas morning for you, right? It has to be.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, a lot of guys have been involved in the culture, but for some of them, this is their first time going through training camp with us. So the great thing about our culture and how we go about things is that, you know, is that it carries over from OTAs into training camp. You're not going to see a lot of change in our approach, and players love that consistency. So we'll go through that. We'll talk about expectations and, you know, how we're going to attack these expectations. And, you know, it's an exciting time with our players. You can feel the enthusiasm in the building, in the locker room, and out in the field with the players that are here. So we know it's going to be an exciting time tomorrow.
Gus, we appreciate your time on a busy week. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Gus Bradley, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, joining us on Jaguars.com Live Thursday night on the new home of Jaguars Radio. It's 1010XL, the season premiere of That Man Show, the Gus Bradley Show. Tomorrow night, 6 to 7. Jaguars Thursday, 7 to 8. That's tomorrow night on 1010XL and 92.5. FM. JP Shadrick with John Osier. Our thanks to Gus Bradley.
You know, I just get tired. He's always walking around here, always moping around. You know, you see him in the hallways, his black cloud around. Just, it gets old, I guess.
I wish
he'd
smile a little
more,
right?
Yeah, come on. Be cheery, right?
No, I mean, it's amazing.
It's neat, I think, for him because he spent all last year really trying to build into these players' minds and almost into their, you know, souls, if you will, what this was going to be. That implicit understanding where you don't have to explain what his message is, where they get it, and where now you've got veterans and guys who have been around who can also give the message to younger players for him. He wouldn't say the culture is established, but it's certainly more established than it was. And I think he's excited to get in and start going and build from what they did last year.
Some notes coming up. Tomorrow, the Veterans Report will have it inside the Jaguars. That's not the only thing that happens tomorrow. There's the big sponsor luncheon upstairs with Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, and everybody. That's going on. Media availability, Gus Bradley, some key players tomorrow inside the Jaguars. A lot going on tomorrow. Of course, Friday on the field, 9:55. You have to register for a ticket. Jaguars.com/events will get you to the registration page for all the events coming up. The Bartram Trail practice is done. There are no more tickets for that. 2,500 seats are gone. If more come open, we'll let you know right here. So a busy few days coming up, John.
Well, it's an incredibly busy few days when you take from Thursday to Monday. That's a five-day period where you have the video board unveiling on Friday, the opening of training camp. I think what's neat to pass on to our fans is that we're going to be doing much more live on the field, you, me, Brian. Training camp, if you're not here, I think we're going to do a better job on the website than we ever have of making people feel like they're here with what's going on right now. So I'm excited about it. I'm sure you are too.
Good job, Johnny.
Thanks, JP.
John Osier, JP Shadrick. Our thanks to Gus Bradley. Thanks to you for watching today. It's Jaguars.com Live.